If you've read anything about... Thank you. If you've read anything about the first great awakening in this country, especially what Jonathan Edwards had to say about it, you'll see time and time again the Spirit moving in that manner where sinners are brought to tears when the Spirit illuminates their situation and they see that they are absolutely bankrupt before a holy and powerful God. And then the joy that floods in as Jesus Christ comes into their hearts, transforms them and relieves them from the burden of their sin. There should be a joy in our service to the Lord. There should be an excitement and an exuberance. And the Spirit brings that to us. But not just to make us feel good. It all is for His purposes. Unless we get into something, and sad to say that we do see this in some places, where believers fall into what J.I. Packer termed a ritual emotionalism. And it becomes about us and about our feelings. And boy, I really felt the Spirit today versus what the Holy Spirit is desiring to do in our lives. Now, balance sometimes can be very hard to keep. We also know that the Spirit empowers us. He gives gifts. And those gifts are to be used for the edification of the body and the building up of the church and to reach the lost with the gospel. But yet the danger here is sometimes we desire the Spirit to give those gifts so that we can be entertained by them as if we want the Spirit to put on a show or a performance for us. And all that comes from not keeping the proper focus on this third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as the Father, just as much God as the Son. He deserves our worship as God, and yet He is the one that empowers and enables us to worship. Because Jesus says those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And whom is He referring to when you talk about the Spirit of truth? Holy Spirit. So, as we pursue this series, my desire and my encouragement to you is to allow ourselves to be constrained by the Scriptures. Because it's very easy to, as a human being, to allow our imaginations to run. To take a look at phrases and maybe words or things we say as Christians and turn it into a theology of the Holy Spirit that may not be accurate. And that's not what we want. We want to know God the Father. We want to know Jesus Christ, His Son. And we also want to know God the Holy Spirit. And just as we turn to the pages of Scripture to see the Father's nature, just as we listen to the words of Jesus in the Gospels to get to know our Lord and Savior, so we turn to Scripture to know the Holy Spirit better. And again, it's amazing because it is God the Holy Spirit that brings us that illumination that allows us to get to know Him better. Holy Spirit has been described as the power of God in action. I like that because the Holy Spirit is active. But this action is not random. The work of the Spirit is not chaotic. It is purposeful for the purposes of God, or as the Scripture says, as He wills. So with that in the way of an introduction, let's kind of dive in. Many symbols are used in Scripture to represent the Holy Spirit. Symbols are a good way to give us a visual image, and they can communicate powerfully to us. But we must remember, too, that symbolism is just that. It's a way for us to comprehend part of infinite God. And that's why we see not just one symbol of the Holy Spirit, but multiple symbols for the Spirit in the Scripture. The first one comes to mind is the one you see on the screen right now. It's very common for us to, when we visualize the Holy Spirit, immediately the image of a dove comes to mind. And the reason for that, if we turn to Luke chapter 3, we see in the Scripture we looked at last week, now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus had been baptized, He was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on Him in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are My beloved Son, with You I am well pleased." We looked at that verse last week. In John chapter 1, verse 32, "And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on Him." So, the first symbol of the Spirit is the dove. Now, let's be clear, the Holy Spirit is not a bird. Matter of fact, there's a little ambiguity in the Scripture, because there's the phrase here, "like a dove." We know that the Spirit was visible, it came upon Jesus in bodily form. But, as John said, it remained on Him. And like a dove, in a manner of a dove, hovering and then descending, it's a very descriptive phrase. But also, we see in the symbolism of the dove, a symbol of peace. And certainly, that's descriptive of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and one facet of His ministry. Another symbol we see of the Holy Spirit is wind. Oh yeah. Acts chapter 2, "And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting." Matter of fact, both the Hebrew and the Greek word for spirit has the connotation of a wind, and a very active wind. And even Jesus Himself said in John 3 that those who are born of the Spirit are likened to the wind. So this idea of the Holy Spirit being like a wind, as like a dove, even through the very words used in Scripture. The wind carries a connotation of action and of power. Another symbol used of the Spirit in Scripture is fire. Again, in Acts chapter 2, we continue. "Filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them." Fire, very symbolic of the cleansing work of the Spirit in our lives. And the passion for God that He brings into our hearts. As we see the two on the road to Emmaus saying, "Were not our hearts within us burning?" So fire, very descriptive of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Another word that is often used in Scripture as a symbol for the Holy Spirit is water. John 7, the words of Jesus. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those also believed in were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So these symbols that we see in Scripture give us an image of the work of the Holy Spirit and tell us a lot about Him. But we see also the Spirit referred to by many names and titles throughout the pages of the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, He is referred to as the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. In the New Testament, He is called the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of your Father, as Jesus said in Matthew 10, don't worry about what to say. The Spirit of your Father speaking through you will give you the words to say. In our study in Peter's epistles, we saw Peter referred to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of glory and of power in 1 Peter chapter 4. We also in our study saw the Spirit referred to as the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. In the New Testament, He's called the Spirit of holiness and the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead. This is God the Holy Spirit. The Greek word for Spirit, pneuma, is one of the more common ways you see the Spirit referred to in the New Testament. But He's also given another title, another name, which is kind of important and very symbolic. You may have heard the Spirit referred to as the Paraclete. Parakletos, the word in Greek. And Paraclete sounds kind of churchy, right? Maybe if you go to an Eastern Orthodox church or a Roman Catholic church, you may hear it in their liturgies, this term Paraclete being used. But it is a word that is so descriptive. It has multiple facets. And in order to understand it, let's just take a look at it very briefly, because when Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit, often He uses this word Himself. What does Paraclete mean? Well, we can give it a definition of comforter, strengthener, counselor, helper, advocate, and ally. You ever need any of those? A divine comforter? A God who gives you strength? Who gives you wisdom? Who helps you? Who advocates for you? And who's by your side as an ally? All of that is embodied in this term, the Paraclete, applied to the Holy Spirit. But before we begin to discuss specifics of the Spirit's work, we can look at the gifts of the Spirit, we can look at the fruits of the Spirit, we can discuss what it means to walk in the Spirit, to be empowered by the Spirit, and we will. Previews of coming attractions in future weeks. It's best to lay a foundation in what Jesus Himself taught about the Holy Spirit before we explore these other facets of the Spirit. Because we see very clear teaching from Jesus on the Spirit and the Spirit's ministry to the believer. And we are going to go to the Gospel of John this morning. John records in great detail Jesus' last teaching with his disciples. Just hours before he's betrayed and handed over to the authorities to be crucified, he gathers with his disciples, celebrates the Lord's Supper, and begins to teach them. And we see this go on from John chapter 13 through chapter 14 of John 15, John 16, culminating in what we refer to as the high priestly prayer of Jesus. That whole section of the Gospel of John is worth a series of Sunday morning messages, and we will get to that maybe later on this year. It's a very important words of Christ. But interspersed through this talk that Jesus is having, this time, his final time teaching his disciples, he discusses the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit. And the first place we'll go to is John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. I'll put the scriptures up here on the screen, so again, like last week, you don't have to be paging through your Bible. Unless you want to, that's fine. If you want to highlight, take notes in the margins, that's wonderful. But for your convenience, they're also up here on the screen. John 14, 15, 16, and 17. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I've highlighted a few words in red up here. First of all, the word helper. Here Jesus is using the word paraclete. He is a helper. And Jesus is identifying him by the title Spirit of Truth. But notice what the Lord is saying to us here. The Spirit is for you. The Spirit is for believers only. The world does not know him. The world cannot know him. And notice the use of the personal pronoun. But you know him. Why? Because he lives in you. He dwells in you. God in you. He is with you. He is present with you. And what an encouragement this is to these 12. Or the 11, because one is about to betray him. As Jesus is saying, my time with you is done. I have to finish my work. I'm leaving you. But as I leave you, the Spirit of truth will come to you, and he will dwell with you. In a very real way, to this point, Jesus was the paraclete to his disciples. He was everything we discussed. Advocate, counselor, helper. But as Jesus has to complete his work, he can't leave his disciples alone. And that's the function of the Holy Spirit. That is why we see these words a little later on in John 14, verses 25 and 20 through 27. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. I'm not going to be with you much longer. I'm not going to be able to teach you. You have called me teacher. You have called me rabbi. You have been my disciples. But I'm not going to be with you. But the Holy Spirit will take that role and continue my work in your life. He will, look at the words that are underlined, the action of the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things. He'll bring to your remembrance all that I have spoken to you. And as a believer, you have experienced this. There are times when you have just had something pop into your mind. You're sharing with somebody. You're ministering to them. You want to encourage them. You want to speak God's word to them. And it just is there for you. Amen? That is the action of the Holy Spirit at work in you. Isn't it a wonderful thing? I think Jesus knows what He's doing. God the Father sends the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus to do this for you. But also, verse 27, to give you peace. One of my favorite verses in the entire Gospel of John. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. That peace of Christ is ministered to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We speak of peace being a fruit of the Spirit, right? But Jesus wants His disciples to be at peace, to not be disturbed. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You're going to see some terrible things here in the next several days. You're going to feel devastated and abandoned. Grief is going to strike you as it's never struck you before. But I want you to be at peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. The Spirit ministers to us the peace of Christ. John chapter 15, as we turn our pages. Verses 26 and 27. But when the Helper, when the Paraclete comes, whom I will send to you from the Father. Jesus sending the Spirit from the Father to us. Who proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness about me. And you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. The Spirit is here to testify about Jesus. We share our testimonies each and every Sunday morning, don't we? As we do so, we testify about Christ. We testify that the Spirit has been at work in our lives throughout the course of the week, doing what He does as He wills. But when we come here on a Sunday morning, we share this. It is about Jesus. It's about the glory of God. You will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. He's speaking to His disciples. But we also bear witness based upon their testimony. We carry on that apostolic tradition. We bring their message to our generation. And the Spirit empowers us to do that. We move on. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, the Paraclete, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you, Jesus sending us the Spirit, so we are not alone. But God is going to dwell in us, be with us, not in the person of Christ physically, but by the living presence of the Holy Spirit in us. He will come to us. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Jesus, the righteous one, raised from the dead, ascending into heaven, vindicating his righteousness. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. When a unbeliever sees the reality of their sin and is convinced of their need for Jesus Christ, is the power of the Spirit at work. We are seeing John 16 come alive in our lives. So the last time you led a person to faith in Jesus, you watched the amazing work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. But be encouraged, because you had a part to play, because the Spirit was working in and through you to bring the message to this person. And they were convicted of their sin. And they saw Jesus as the righteous one. The Holy Spirit at work. And lastly this morning, our final portion out of this section of the Gospel of John. Later on, John chapter 16, just the next couple of verses, matter of fact, where we left off, 12 through 15. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. We just understand the context of this. The emotions are running high. The confusion is there in that room. The denial that, no, Lord, this can't be happening to you. No, I will never betray you, Lord. I will never turn my back on you. They didn't want to face the terrible reality that was just ahead of Jesus in the garden, minutes away. And Jesus understands that. I have a lot more I want to tell you, but you can't handle it right now. I know I'm sensitive to that. I know where you're at. But he's sending the Spirit of truth again. The Spirit of truth comes. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Just as Jesus said, look, I'm not here doing my own will. I'm doing the will of my Father in heaven. Just as it is with Jesus and the Father, it's with the Spirit. He's not going to speak on his own. He's going to declare to us what he hears. That he will speak to us. It's the Trinity working together. The one God, three persons, each in a different function, working together for God's purposes. Notice the purpose of the Holy Spirit in verse 14. And here's, I think, where we, if we're not careful as believers, here's where we come off the rail. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Spirit is coming to glorify Jesus. If our idea of the Holy Spirit, the fancy theological word for it is pneumatology, from the Greek word pneuma, for the Spirit. If our pneumatology, you guys, you know that word, you know, power tools operated by air, or pneumatic, same Greek root. If our pneumatology is not Christ-centered, we can get into trouble. If our understanding of the Spirit is not focused in Christ, we risk misunderstanding the purpose of the Spirit in our lives. The Spirit will glorify Jesus. He will take what is Jesus and bring it or declare it to us. The Spirit mediates Christ to us. All that the Father has is mine, says Jesus. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. We have everything we need for life and godliness, as Peter reminded us earlier on in our studies in Peter's epistles. And it is because of the Spirit. We can't allow our focus on the Holy Spirit to be separated from our focus on Christ. Just like we cannot look at the work of Christ and separate it from God the Father and His will and His purposes. It's all the same. Do you belong to Jesus? It's through the Spirit. Matter of fact, we sometimes in the church hear this phrase bantered about as a way of closing. This question, do you have the Holy Spirit? The worst form of that is, do you have it? Which we've already covered. But that's not really the question. The question is whether or not we have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, we do. We've seen that already today, this morning, very clearly. The world does not know Him, but we do because He dwells with us and lives in us. We have the Holy Spirit. It's not a question. The real question should be this. Not, do you have the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have you? Are we yielding to the Spirit? Are we understanding the Spirit as the Scriptures reveal Him to us? For it is when the Spirit has us that we can live, as our dream statement says, a life of dependence upon Him. Because through the Holy Spirit, we live a life in dependence upon Christ. And we are part of the family of God. Let's pray. Father, we come to You in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, speaking through the power of the Holy Spirit as He mediates our words for us and gives us the words to say in prayer to You, Lord. We thank You for Your awesome nature that's so beyond our comprehension. One God in three persons. Same God, but distinct purposes and personalities all coming together for our good, because of Your love for us. A love that we experience through the power of the Spirit at work in our lives. Father, we see so much error around us from people who name Your name and separate themselves from the power of the Spirit, and in many ways deny that the Spirit is at work in the church today. So sad. And on the other side, we see those who name Your name that they run away with their own imaginations and then label that the work of the Spirit, when in Scripture we don't see indications of this. We err on both sides, Lord. My prayer, God, is that for the people of Living Hope, that they would apprehend and comprehend the Spirit as we see revealed in the pages of our Bibles. That we not stray from the Word, because that is how we know You, whether it be Father, Son, or Spirit. As we pursue this series, Lord, focusing on God, the Holy Spirit. May my words be faithful to your revealed, God-breathed words given to our brothers so long ago through the Spirit, that we would hear faithfully proclaim from this pulpit the reality of the Spirit as you have Him working in our lives today, Lord. And the purpose of this is not an academic exercise. It's not a lesson in theology. It's for your purposes and your will, for your plan, so that we may be properly equipped, strengthened, and empowered to go out into our world and be used by you to make a difference in people's lives, Lord. To minister to them your love, your grace, your mercy, your healing, and draw them to your beauty, where you will touch their hearts and give them a heart of flesh for a heart of stone. Meld us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us.